thrilling episode of
High on Horror.
I am one of your hosts, Josh. Joining me as always are Chris and Miles. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Back at it again with the white Vans.
I was going to say, I'm stealing Miles' greeting.
Oh, Chris is going to do it.
Good luck.
Welcome back to week number two of Alien Month. Today's film is A Quiet Place from 2018. But before we get into the film, we have some spooky things to discuss. Who wants to take a shot at the spooky things?
Miles, please.
Okay, I got a bunch. Currently wearing a Bride of Chucky shirt, which is pretty dope. Hey. Then I saw, well, I'll start with this one. I saw The Howling for the first time in my adult life. Have you guys watched that?
Oh, no, I've not yet to watch it. And we do love werewolves here on High on Horror.
We do. How was it? I mean, it was surprisingly high budget for the quality of acting. So, yeah.
Yeah, from everything I've heard, the effects are awesome and the storyline is stupid as fuck.
Nailed it right on the head. That's exactly what it is. And so, yeah, I recommend that. Tubi just uploaded all kinds of werewolf movies. We got all the Ginger Snaps on there. American Werewolf in London. They just loaded us up with werewolves for some reason.
Oh, so, baby.
It's pretty dope. And lastly, I watched Boogeyman on opening night. And it was okay.
Yeah, it was.
Back at it again with the Stephen King.
That one, Children of the Corn, I feel like, have really just not been good.
Well, Children of the Corn looked good.
It looked good, but none of us saw it because there was like literally zero hype around it at all.
Well, was it some sort of Roku exclusive?
Probably.
Yeah, don't have that.
I think it was on Shudder.
Was it?
Really?
I think so.
Either way, Boogeyman was not bad in any way. There was literally no part where I was like, that's stupid, I don't like it. But it was also not, like, there was no moment in that movie I haven't seen in another movie. So
it's got new Princess Leia in it, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's a popcorn movie. Like, if you're a teenager seeing horror movies for the first time, great entry level.
Need something to pop your cherry? Go see Boogeyman.
Hold hands as a 15-year-old with another 15-year-old. Good for you. So, yep, that's my spooky stuff. What's up with you, Chris?
I have a couple things as well, actually. I'm going to drop a picture of this in the chat, but I went on a little online shopping spree. And
Miles style, wish.com.
No, not wish.com. But I did get this dope Pokemon shirt, and it's got Haunter, Gengar, and Ghastly on the front of it, and it just says Ghost. And it's just really rad. So I've been rocking that recently.
My computer says this is an untrustworthy link.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah.
You telling me you can't trust DraculaBite.com?
Have you? Yeah, it's the ninth image option on if you type in ghost Pokemon shirt.
I like the one that says Gengar, but it's written like the musical artist Ghost.
Yeah. That one's freaking sick.
Also the Bulbasaur one, but his back bulb is a jack-o'-lantern.
So, yeah, I copped one of those. Another very recent development today, Dead by Daylight is on the PlayStation Play Pass. So I decided to download that again. And, dude, I have no business playing with the level of people I'm playing as the killer. I'm literally, like, kicking ass and taking names. Like, I just am laying waste to these total noobs that are like trying to figure out how to like go through a window or throw a pallet down, and I'm just eating. And so that's been really fun because I played a lot on my Xbox, and I have like skin. I have a ton of skins. I have all the character, most of the characters unlocked. But my co-host Brandon and his brother Kyle were like, yeah, we've been playing on PlayStation. We had to restart, but it's really fun when it's not like the sweatiest lobbies in the world. And so, yeah, I've been doing that. They have like so many freaking killers in it now. I mean, like,
didn't they just add Nicolas Cage as Nicolas Cage to that game?
He's coming soon, I think. Yes. He'll be a survivor character. They have, like, Wesker from Resident Evil as one of the killers since I stopped playing. Nemesis, I think, was the last one that they put in. Cool. And then they have a bunch of proprietary ones. But I just want to say, I love games, like, that do the community well, because Dead by Daylight is, like, 7-8 years old now and is still putting out new content, is still updating stuff. They've, like, did a whole graphics retrofit. You don't have to buy anything extra to get that. Like, I just appreciate devs, like, actually giving a shit and giving back to the community, because that makes me want to spend money on that game. You know, like, they're going to they listen to the fans when there's, like, major buggy issues with certain perks and things. So, you know, it's fun. Plus, I love that it's in the horror setting, and they've added so many freaking maps. It's honestly kind of overwhelming, but it's cool.
I always wanted to play that one. It looks so dope. Is that a PlayStation exclusive?
No, it's on Xbox. I think it's on Switch too, which would be hilarious to play it on Switch.
Cool, it's like, man.
I'm coming to kill you. Yeah, so, but that's my spooky stuff for the week. Josh?
Two things. I've been watching footage from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game is in beta right now. It's looking pretty good.
Hell yeah.
It's looking very, like, Friday the 13th game.
Yeah.
Survival, basically Dead by Daylight. looking good, though. Looking pretty scary. It's all there. The music is all there. The settings are all there. Everything you want.
It looks
running around with a chainsaw.
It looks a little different than Dead by Daylight, though, because you have the whole hillbilly family working with you, which is cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that till I saw the footage. You can be different members of the family.
Yeah. I am very excited for that game. I am a sucker for any movie adaptation games. Like,
me too.
I bought Alien, Extermination, Predator, Hunting Ground. Like, I was thinking about it yesterday. I think we talked about games on Geek Peek the last week. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just a hoe for movie adaptation games. Definitely getting that. I bought the Evil Dead game, which is also fantastic. Like, if you guys ever get that, we could all play together. And it's just, it's a ton of fun.
Absolutely.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, I'm stoked, man. Like, we should. I would love to play Dead by Daylight with you guys. Although being a survivor kind of sucks.
That'll be. Right.
Yeah, I used to play the Friday the 13th game all the time, and I always just played offline as Jason, so I could kill all the campers. Yeah. I don't want to be a fucking camper.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fuck that shit. You can't even kill Jason. Like, what's the point? You're just running the whole time. Fuck that shit. My other spooky thing is I had a dalliance with the paranormal 2 days ago. I was out fishing at night by myself in the woods. And I was on a lake, and then there was, like, a road that had a bridge, so then there was another, like, the same lake, but just it goes under the bridge over to the other side. It, like, opens up into a bigger lake. And where I was fishing, I kept hearing this. It sounded like someone was throwing rocks into the water, like big rocks. Like, it was like, doosh, doosh. But, like, only every couple minutes. But there's nobody around. It's like 10:30 at night. There's no people. All you can hear is this rock noise every few minutes. But then it stopped. So I was like, oh, maybe it was like fish jumping or whatever. And I go over near that area. And it starts again, and is like, but it's like more. It's like, doosh, doosh, doosh. I was like, oh, what the fuck? And I'm like holding my light up, like trying to see into the pitch black nothingness. And I'm like, a fucking bear rolls up over this barricade. I'm fucked. Or maybe it's a Sasquatch. Fucking rocks into the fucking water. I should have tried that. I didn't try the trademark noise. We could have become friends.
He comes up and, like, daps you up.
Yeah, my dude. Been waiting for someone to oi me all day. But yeah, it got real spooky, so I was like, this is my cue to leave. I'm going to get the fuck out of here before I get mauled and dragged into a lake and no one ever sees me again.
Well, we're glad you're still with us, Josh. That's crazy, though. Like, what was it, just a big-ass fish or something, or did somebody fucking with you?
I have no fucking idea. No, there was nobody out there. It's in the middle of nowhere.
You got to get the friggin' Bigfoot expeditionary force out there to friggin' do some recon.
Yeah. Next time I'll do the call and see what happens, see if it oils really quick.
Bring in the cavalry.
But, hell yeah, let's move on to our movie for the week. So, our very first episode of this podcast, we discussed our top five favorite horror movies. And on my list was, at the time, the relatively new A Quiet Place, directed by John Krasinski. This is also PG-13 horror as well, isn't it?
Yes.
It is.
But this is PG-13 horror done right, because this movie is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We will just kind of discuss this movie, because there is very little dialogue. So we'll kind of touch on the big notes of the movie, but you can't really go step by step, because then otherwise you are forced to literally explain every single thing that happens in this film, because there's no, like, quotes or anything to kind of push the story along.
I call this movie John Krasinski Goes Shh.
Yeah, there's a lot of people throwing the finger up, and it's like, yeah, we live in a world where you got to be quiet. I don't think you got to keep telling people that. This movie has a lot of plot holes in it, but it's so good that you just kind of don't care. Like, they're typical movie plot holes that you just kind of have to shut your brain off to and just enjoy it. But there is a, if you're paying attention, there's a lot of, well, that doesn't work that way, or that clearly made a noise. There's a lot of things they do where it's like, well, you clearly just edited out the audio of that, because there's no way you did that without it making a sound. You have the quietest stairs in the entire world. They never creak. I mean, the loosest plot of this movie is that there are sound aliens that come to Earth, alien monsters. That you don't see them coming to Earth in this one. And we will touch on the second one, because the sequel is very good as well. There are these creatures that if they're attracted to sound, they can't see, but they boy, do they hate sound. Because they go crazy with murder anytime they hear a noise. This follows the Abbott family, who happen to have a daughter who is deaf. So they all know sign language, which is a big component of how they've been able to stay alive so long. I think this movie has not only one of the best modern openings to a horror movie, but I think this is one of the best openings to a horror movie ever. Because it is so effective and sets the movie up amazingly and is just so hopeless and sad. What a horrifying event.
Yeah, I'm realizing, like, in modern times, the movie directors are super into killing children. Like, so many kids die in opening scenes of movies now. It's really intense, but yeah. I agree.
Only the dogs are safe these days.
Yeah, it is an amazing opening for the movie. It tells everything you need it to tell, and it sets a tone, and it rides that tone the whole movie.
Yeah, and at this point, like, one of the running themes is the, like, estrangement that the daughter feels from her mother and father, because she feels responsible for, like, giving the little boy his batteries back, which caused the monster to find the son and kill him because of noise. And, like, that's a really good emotional through line of this entire film, and one of the more, like, character-driven parts of this film that I really like.
And the deaf actress, or the little girl, she's really deaf in real life, if I'm not mistaken, which is kind of cool.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's, like, deaf in real life.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Yeah, lost her.
I think she's great.
She is excellent.
She lost her hearing when she was 12 months old due to a medication overdose.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
This is the first time I had heard of a deaf person being in a movie at all. And now Last of Us did the same thing this year, was they had a deaf kid playing a deaf kid in a show. Pretty cool how inclusive that is. And I thought that she was the best actress in the movie. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a cool concept. The whole movie rides on the concept of you have to be quiet. And what a like perfectly structured story of how these people have been able to last over a year without making a sound because they can all speak sign language. And I mean, like I said, if you throw any sort of logic into it, it you start to poke holes into it. But it's just so well done that you don't really care that they're there. Yeah. It's like no one talks in their sleep. Like no one farts. Like, you know, I mean, how sensitive are these monsters to hearing? Because I mean, you can't knock a lantern over, or they come running from a mile away, but they don't hear you breathing in the same room that you're standing in with them. Like, right. There's things like that where it's like if you start to poke holes at it, it doesn't make sense. But
well, and like. A deaf girl would be a terrible person to have on your team in this circumstance because they have no idea when they're making noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. That becomes a much bigger issue while watching it in the second one because she like kind of goes off by herself. And I'm just like, danger could be anywhere. Like, you don't know. You're like, that monster could be right behind you at any moment. Like, you have no awareness of your surroundings. Like,
I will say one thing that I really like about this, even though it's aliens, they do a good job of not making it like a sci-fi action film. It really is like a character-driven horror thriller, which is like plays really well and makes the monsters that much more intimidating.
Yeah, it's one of those they don't tell you. There's just kind of like little hints you can see around, but it's never in focus of like, they came from here, and they're here because of this. Because they're not like they're not intelligent beings. They're just like alien monsters, like mini Cloverfield monsters running around. They got big fucking arms, and they just bulldoze through anything.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that. We'll talk about the second one a little bit too. And I do appreciate that you do get the scene at the beginning of the second one where they're like, "This is what happens."
Yeah. Like, which is also one of the best scene, like openers for a movie.
Yeah, the opening is crazy.
Like this one and the sequel had incredible cold opens, and so they're making a spinoff called Quiet Place Day One, and I'm very excited to see that because I mean I have expectations. The opening to that movie has to be badass. It's a trend now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This series, these two movies so far at least, have felt like perhaps the best companion pieces across like a franchise. Like they are so perfectly synced up that I can't think of another series that feels this like cohesive.
Yeah, I heard people kind of shit on the second one. I think it is a tremendous and perfect sequel.
Yeah.
It literally picks up right where it leaves off, and it tonally feels like the exact same movie. Like it a lot of times with sequels it'll get a bigger budget or whatever and then it won't feel like it's set in the same cinematic universe. This one, the second one, is shot exactly the same. It feels like a true continuation. All the care, even though it was filmed like 2-3 years later, it feels like everyone, like they just never stopped rolling the cameras and they just continued and made a second movie.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning I did notice this time around.
Wait, I'm sorry. Something. For the transitions, can you just make it go, shh?
I sure can. At the beginning, I noticed, and this is only something I noticed really from seeing the second one and knowing what happened and like how fast things went bad, like literally immediately. There's that scene right at the beginning where they're like raiding the pharmacy. There's an entire board full of missing posters. And it's like, who had time to do that? These things clearly are fine-tuned killing machines with a radius of 10 miles yeah. if they're hearing.
You staple like, that thing on a wall and it's coming through it.
Yeah, like how you all returned home with monsters on the loose and were like, Gerald never came home. It's like, yeah, of course he didn't. He got eaten by a fucking 10-foot-tall monster.
Let's get the printer out. Just makes all this noise and shit.
Bro, I'd be going to the nearest, like, concert venue and getting speakers to suspend from, like, cabling in the sky and just draw as many as I can and just bomb the shit out of it.
Well, yeah, that's something that is never talked about or addressed at all. They didn't, like, if they're so obsessed with sound, why don't you set something up somewhere off in the distance that never stops making noise?
Well, they would destroy it.
Make a wind chime out of fucking bottles and hang it up in a tree or something.
Yeah. I mean, the loud white noise thing does come up in this movie, but like Chris said, they would just rip it apart, whatever they'd come across. And
well, you know, build a house near the waterfall where it's safe.
Yeah, that's the move.
Yeah.
But also like that, like there's a scene where they go to get fish from the river, and the dad's like, we can talk here kind of quietly because the river's loud, so us talking, they can't hear it. And then if we go behind the waterfall, we can be as loud as we want to be. But if they're attracted to sound, shouldn't they just be there slapping the fucking river nonstop because it's making noise? Like, they don't know the difference. They can't see.
I mean, they could probably surmise after hitting the water for a little while that that's just the sound it makes, I feel like.
Dude, it punched a truck.
Hey, that truck shouldn't have got up in its grill, bro.
It attacked a corn silo.
Yo, the corn silo scene is the craziest scene in this movie.
Not how that would work at all. Those kids would be dead. Yep. That kid's got the strength of fucking Hercules when he pulled that girl out of that. Like, no way.
You know what they kind of remind me of now that I'm thinking about it? They remind me of the arachnids from Starship Troopers.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, the grain silo scene is so good though. Like, it's so tense, and
it's very tense.
Like, it's just like super dire. Like, they are literally about to get like suffocated by corn.
It bugged me out so hard to like imagine being them. Like, you just are slowly sinking in like it's mud, but it's not mud. It's fucking corn, and you can just like feel it on your face and your arms as you like continue to drift down. You're like, any minute now there's going to be ground below me, but there's not because you're just encased yeah. in corn.
18
like,
more feet of corn below you.
Yeah, like, God.
You got to
like,
breathe in and just inhale kernels.
Yeah, it sounds so fucking horrible, and yeah, it really weird me out.
The corn is killing me!
I mean, the pressure per square inch would just suffocate you immediately. I mean, that is some dense shit. And it's like quicksand. The more you fight against it, the faster you're going down. But it is a very well... This whole movie is well shot. And the sound design...
That
and sometimes lack thereof sound is incredibly well done.
Yeah.
To the point where when you do hear sound, it is almost deafening. It is so loud.
Yeah, I think the sound design for this has got to be some of the best sound design for any horror movie I've ever seen. Just because of the emphasis on like how integral that is to the plot of this film.
I got a question, though. Where are they getting all this sand?
That occurred to me as well.
I don't see a beach around. I love the element that they've laid sand everywhere to kind of deafen their foot, when they step. So, I mean, that fucking goes all the way from the house to the convenience store. Like, but where are they getting it? They're on a cornfield.
Yeah, I figured they probably just found, you know...
just found some sand?
Like, what, you know, there's, like, not a, it's, like, a shot, like, It's not a shop, but it's like a junkyard that has a bunch of raw materials in it. I don't even know what it would be called, but I've seen them before, believe it or not.
Yeah, like a scrapyard.
Yeah, like, yeah, for stone or whatever. I just figured he probably just went. Also, like, most city, like, local governments have, like, sandbags and stuff for flooding.
That's true.
But
speaking of flooding.
Dude, again, putting children in danger.
Where does that come from? There's a scene, all right, we'll go over this. This is near the end, the third act. There's a lot of making noise, and the monster does not come running. Like, they do some very not quiet things, and it's like, all right. The monster's on their coffee break. They've built this, like, soundproof room, because we haven't said. The main characters are John Krasinski and Emily, his real-life wife, Emily Blunt, is playing his wife in this movie. They lost their child at the beginning because it got killed by a monster, and she is pregnant now a year later, which, if you think about that, very unlikely, but it's a movie. And they've built this, like, soundproof room under the barn where they're just going to, I don't know, keep a baby for 3 years till they can teach it to not talk or something.
Also known as the podcast studio.
Yeah. Because you know how quiet babies are.
Yeah.
God forbid that thing has colic.
They must have made the baby down there, too, because how do you do that in absolute silence?
Lots of sand. It was in the corn silo.
It was behind the waterfall. It was doggying her out behind the waterfall.
And that's the boob report.
When they get back from that fishing scene, all they've had these lights set up around their barn, and they've all turned red, meaning you've been gone and I'm going into labor. And that scene is very tense. She's going through labor pains, the monster's in the house.
I just thought the red was emergency. Do you think it was specific to I'm about to poop out a baby?
No, it's just emergency. It's just there.
No, I would say it is the baby's coming because he immediately tells the kid he's got to light the fireworks to deafen his mother's screams because she's not.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But how did the monster get there?
He ran real fast.
Well, yeah. I don't mean physically. I mean, what event occurred to where the monster is inside the building?
Let's see.
She stepped on the nail.
Dropped something.
No.
Let's see. She goes into labor, steps on a nail, and drops a photo frame.
Yeah, is what it was, yeah. Yeah, that fucking nail. The nail is the villain of the movie. The ominous music they play when they zoom in on that nail. It's like the most evil music.
And he knew what he was doing, too.
Like, text could have popped on the screen that said, "Don't worry, this motherfucker's gonna come back."
He targeted her.
That nail really, like, it really leads you into it, like, it might as well be Jaws, like, just the slow.
Yeah, it's like a slow zoom.
I also, we kind of skipped by it, but it was, like, the first time we see them come towards the house when, after the kid is passed away, when they're playing, like, Monopoly, and, I love all the little attention to detail. I mean, you touched on the fireworks and the sign language, the sand, all these different things. But I really liked how when they rolled, they had to, like, roll it on a rug, mm-hmm. you know, to make sure that the dice roll doesn't happen. And then some poor defenseless raccoons get absolutely shredded up on the roof.
Yeah, I mean, how would there be any animals left at this point? It's been a year and a half.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers make noise just walking around.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was probably the dumbest part of the movie, if you ask me, is the blood splatter raccoons. Just one quick fake-ass blood. And then no more raccoons.
It would have been a lot better if it was just, like, another survivor.
Yeah.
Being like, help me. I'm hurt. You're about to be real hurt, brother.
Old man in the woods that screams for no reason because his wife died.
I loved that guy. My favorite character.
His face when he gets all scrunched up when he's about to scream. His like whole mouth goes up into his nose.
His face reminded me of when you remember those Ripley's Believe It or Not books and like the Guinness World Records where it's like, your face will stay like that if you make this weird face. That's what it reminded me of. It was so iconic, dude. Who is that man? Tell me his story. I want that. I hope the spinoff is about him day one.
Just that dude.
My wife.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too, though. Was it like a suicide scream, or was it just like the agony of grief just overtook him?
I kind of figured, I thought it was both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's like, fuck it, my wife, I'm old, my wife just got murdered. But well, like, what did she die from? He found also, her dead from a monster?
Also, I love how he chooses to do it. He's like, you two, come here. I got you. Let me show you some.
You about to see some shit.
He like saw the little boy and was like, yeah, I'm doing it for sure. Yeah, that... I thought that was cool, and just like the absolute, it's almost like when in a samurai movie, when like, you know, like they have the showdown and one like flies by the other and they just like fall in two. That's what, when it like swept him away, is what it reminded me of.
Lightsaber strike.
Yeah.
I would say that the most effective part of this movie is the relationship between the little girl and John Krasinski and how that like plays out from the beginning to the end, because it's revealed that she thinks like her parents don't love her anymore because she blames herself for her brother's death, and she thinks her parents do too, even though her little brother keeps going, no, they like, no, they don't. And but then even the little brother starts to believe it. He has a conversation with his dad at the river and he's like, you know, she blames herself, right? And he's just like, well, it wasn't anybody's fault. And he's like, well, do you still love her? And John Krasinski is like in shock. He's like, of course I do. And the whole movie, she's just like, he doesn't give a fuck about me. Like, after the mom gives birth and he has to like rescue the mom basically and the baby and get her down into the quiet room. And
a quiet place. Like,
yeah, into a quiet place, part two. And she's like, well, where are the kids? Like, you got to go save the kids. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll go do that. And this is what I mean. Like, he knows monsters are afoot. He's moving the mattress. The only thing that's covering the quiet room is a mattress. I mean, this motherfucker swats a car over. Like, but he's not getting through that queen-size mattress. He's moving that. It's like dragging on the floor. There's lights on top of it that are jingle jangling, and that monster doesn't come running. And as he leaves, we see that there's water. Where's the water coming from?
Yeah, that had no explanation. There was just a broken pipe.
Yeah, there's no scene of water getting turned on. It's not raining or anything.
Yeah,
there just happens to be water pouring into this basement.
When they go into the quiet room, he like can't find them, and he ends up breaking some water pipes. He's just like, the monster is like wrecking some shit like upstairs.
Oh, so the monster did it.
Yeah,
he could have shown that. But also, John Krasinski leaves, there's no water in this basement. 2.5 minutes later, there's 1.5 feet of water in this basement. Shit's like knee high when she stands up.
The baby's floating around in like a basket, and the monster's right there.
Yeah.
Prince of Egypt vibes.
This inconsistency, though, that I noticed this time around, which I didn't notice the first time because the sequel hadn't existed yet. Spoiler alert for the sequel. Any of you out there who, if you haven't seen it, skip ahead. It's revealed in the second one that these monsters cannot swim.
Mm.
this monster
literally swims.
Very clearly dives into the water and swims around and emerges at one point. Did they just forget about that when they were writing the second one?
They had to come up with something. But yeah, he straight up like alligatored in. He was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just slides in. I thought the scene where from when she steps on the nail all the way to like the birth scene when she's in the bathtub and this thing is like crawling up, like it like puts its freaking claws around the wall and she's like about to have a baby and it's like literally right on top of her pretty much all the way down into the basement with all of the shit going on. I thought that was like the scariest part of this movie.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. Man, childbirth doesn't look like it's fun.
These monsters are very effective. They are terrifying. Like, even, and they're not fast at all. Like, when we get to this third act, they're very, like, slow and kind of stalking, and they're very creepy.
Yeah.
And you just, it's because you know the raw power that they have. So you're like, poor Emily Blunt here. It's about to get her goddamn face ripped off at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
But yeah, John Krasinski goes looking for the kids. The corn silo scene happens. He's reunited with the children.
Don't go into the corn silo!
The girl has like a... What is it called? Like a cochlear implant?
Yeah,
like she has like a hearing aid that has like a magnet on her head. And John Krasinski had been making her new ones, trying to test it out, see if they could get her to hear anything. And the new one she gets seems to have an effect on these monsters. Whenever, anytime they're close, I don't know how, what the correlation between the monsters and, like, why are the monsters causing that thing to go off when they're within close proximity to her?
I want to say it's like, it seems like some kind of, like, echolocation.
Yeah, And I can like, see it happening with like when she has the microphone.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
well, I think the frequency is fucking with her implant, and so it creates a really high pitched noise. The frequency that they make, and with that high pitched noise, it ends up being like a feedback loop, basically, because it's amplifying the sound of the noise that the creature itself is making.
Right. Yeah. They do not like it. It makes their whole head is like these like plates and they just go crazy. It's fucking,
it looks so cool
looking.
It reminds me of Stranger Things
very much so.
Yes, very Demogorgon. They get like stuck in a truck. The kids are hiding in a truck because there's a monster afoot, and John Krasinski's like, I got this, I'm gonna get an axe. And he decides that he's going to sacrifice himself for his children. And the girl's, like, staring at him out the car window as the monster's attacking it. And he signs, like, I love you and I've always loved you. And it's so fucking sad and beautiful at the same time. I cried both times I've watched this movie when I got to that part.
Yeah, it is seriously so sad.
It's very touching because she thinks he fucking hates her. And he's like, I don't hate you, I love you, and I'm going to die now. The only weird thing is because he then screams, and it's very, because there isn't much talking in this movie, it's very powerful that, like, I'm killing myself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But you're on the sand path. It's only going to go to where the noise was, yell, and then run away. And that's what I mean by, like, this movie has holes, but they're movie holes. Like, for the movie to work, that makes perfect sense. But logically, take a step to the right. Like he would have attacked right where you were. But I mean, it's such a powerful scene. Little logic doesn't matter. Doesn't. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I mean, all you'd need is like a pile of golf balls, and like one's coming at you. Just throw it as far as you can throw it, and it'll go over that way.
Yeah, throw that axe you had into the pile of metal behind you.
Yeah.
So, a couple of things I want to touch on about this movie that I thought was interesting. I was just reading a little bit about it. So, apparently Krasinski did the mocap for the aliens.
That's pretty cool.
Which, yeah, I like it. This,
because he's 7 feet tall and just a lanky animal.
This really was his baby, I feel like.
Yeah, he directed some unknown comedy before this, but I mean, I would call this really his directorial debut. I mean, because he knocked it out of the fucking park with this.
Yeah, it's a shame he stepped out for the third one. Like, he's not going to be involved in it at all.
Yeah, apparently the studio was really... he's still producing it now, I guess. They must have talked him into producing it, but he's not... They're going to do... They're doing the day one, and then they're doing another... They're doing a third one.
So, apparently this was going to be a... Like, they were looking at developing it as a fourth installment for the Cloverfield franchise, but then Paramount and Krasinski opted for a standalone film to create a new franchise, and I think that was definitely in their benefit.
Absolutely.
Like, I love Cloverfield, but, like, this stands way better on its own.
Yeah, this is way better than any of the Cloverfield movies.
Yeah. Also, only $17 million to make this movie.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty dope.
$341 million box office return.
Yeah, I was just about... That's crazy. That's three Joe Rogans worth of money.
But yeah, so John Krasinski's character, Lee, ends up sacrificing himself. And... At this point, his two children decide to put the truck in neutral and roll it back to the house. They had, like, set it up. They had rolled it up to a hill so that it was, like, you know, emergency kind of thing where they didn't have to start the car. And they get back and they find their mama, which they're very happy about. And then you hear another creature shrieking. So they go to the basement. And this is kind of where it all comes together, that the cochlear implant can be used as a weapon.
When they go down into the basement, you're sitting there just like, this movie has to be over soon, right? Like, you've just been on the edge of your seat for so long that by the time this is rolling, this is not a long movie, I feel like, but like...
No, it's only an hour and a half.
Yeah, by the time you get to that, it's like the thrill ride has to be done soon. Like, it's just so many ups and downs, and it's a wild movie, and that's before you even get to the conclusion of the movie.
Yeah, and it's something I've discussed a lot lately on this show, and I think this movie does it perfectly, which is pacing. This movie is perfectly paced. It's only an hour and a half. There's no fat on this film at all. Like, it just, it starts with a powerful opening. The second act is all establishing everything that you need to know about this universe, and the third act is an enormous multi-scene payoff of just intense suspense and action. And it's I think it's great. Emily Blunt's a fucking badass at the end of this movie.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, honestly, if anything, I would have been okay with, like, a little bit of fat added on. Just a little bit, like... Because I loved these characters and I love spending time in this universe. So, like, I could have gone for another 8 minutes of, you know, some little offshoot scenes of... I would love to have seen them encounter more people, to be honest. Because I found that really fascinating. And we get a lot more of that in the second movie, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's weird. They have the soundproof room. And not until the baby's born and they get down there do they go, oh, it worked. It's like, you didn't test this fucking thing out?
Like, they had to make the baby somehow.
Put a radio down there with a fucking cassette tape in it. See if the monsters come a-running.
The daughter takes off the cochlear implant and puts it on the microphone in, like, a really intense showdown. And we get the Demogorgon face open on this thing, which shows inside of its, like, brain, basically. And Emily Blunt says, see you later. And
yeah, smile, you son of a bitch.
She wastes this thing with a shotgun, like, multiple shots of the face, which was cool.
Yeah, the end of the movie then is a cliffhanger. Like, you don't get a lot of cliffhangers in modern times. Like, usually it's pretty contained. So it's crazy that they knew they were going for a sequel. Like, they had gold in their hands and they knew it. And yeah. I'm really happy about it.
But it's also the type of cliffhanger where this could still have been a standalone movie.
Absolutely.
Because it's not like a cliffhanger of what's going to happen. It's a, oh, all right, they have a solution now. Where could they go from here?
I guess that's true. But they sure show a fucking lot of them coming to attack them. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's supposed to be the same two, just at different angles. Because they say down on the map that there's only three in the area.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like you see them tearing off towards them, and it's like, okay, cool. So now they can fight back, which is... It's cool. It ends on a pretty hopeful note, I feel like.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe that's people's problem with the second one, is that the very ending scene of the second one is basically the exact same ending scene as this one, just set in a different location. I mean, the deaf girl does the exact same thing again to the monster at the end of the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
Holds her implant up to a microphone and then blows its head off with a shotgun.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they play with it in a different way in Day Zero.
Our boy Digimon Hansu is returning.
Digimon Hansu, Digimon has the power.
And it's directed by the guy that did Pig. You ever see Pig? Nicolas Cage?
I have not seen it, no.
I've never watched it.
Says it's amazing.
Yeah. This movie could benefit from having some Cage in it.
Oh,
yeah. the silent stoicism of Nicolas Cage.
Just bring his character over from Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like
we
Nick
don't
Cage...
need a deaf person. We need a mute person. We can't make noise.
I feel like Nick Cage was made up by AI, and all of our memories of Nick Cage and knowledge of Nick Cage is just... modern AI planted it in our brains, because just watching like videos of him talk, he's like, well, that's very astute, good observation.
He could be running everything. My son did ask me yesterday if the world is a simulation.
See,
and I was like, I don't think so, but I mean, it's possible.
What do you think we're gonna rate this bad boy?
Alien head flaps.
Rocket ships.
Oh, no.
It's bags of sand.
Corn.
There it is. Corn. How much corn would you guys rate this?
A whole lot of corn in this movie. I give it five years of corn. I fucking love this movie. I think it is, even though, like I said, if you look at it, there's a lot of story flaws, but I don't give a shit. I fucking love it.
I'm with you, Josh. I'm giving it five as well. I love this movie. I've watched it probably five or six times at this point. It's always a good time. The story just slaps. The character development's good. The monsters look great, and it has some genuinely frightening parts. And it's just a very different horror movie than really a lot of... Like, I can't really think of anything else that reminds me of this very much. And I feel like it's a really good, like, if you need some, like, beginner horror stuff to show people that they're not super into the genre, this is a great place to start, because it leans enough into the horror element where it still falls under the umbrella, but it's also not, like, you're not going to be horrified watching this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's also a sci-fi movie. It's Alien, so I mean, you get cross genres, and I mean, well, the first time I watched this movie, it just stuck with me for days because I thought it was so well done, and I mean, that says a lot for a movie.
Indeed, it does. And
Miles,
our boy rides again. That's another five out of five.
Cocoa.
I love this movie. This movie is so dope. I'm really glad you picked it, Josh, because. I knew right away Kakoa Shaw approved. We haven't had one of these in a minute.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. I'm excited to do the second one sometime. I fucking like the second one, too.
Yeah, agreed.
Cillian Murphy.
Agreed. He's so good. Like, for, you know, the fact that John Krasinski's out at the end of the first one, like, they needed another really, really strong character to come in. And honestly, he was every bit as compelling as John Krasinski, if not more.
And the Hansu.
Digimon.
I've only seen that one once.
Wait, you said you've only seen it once, Miles?
Yeah, I only saw it once, and it was in the theater, so I'm eager to see it again.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's good. And if we haven't indicated it enough to you listeners out there, this is obviously a movie you want to listen to. Like, you want the volume up for this thing.
Yeah, it's going to be absent for most of the movie. And then you're going to hear things.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you have it, folks. A Quiet Place. If you
Kakawa Shaw approved.
Kakawa Shaw approved. Kakawa!
Kakawa!
I don't know why he crows. Anyway.
He soars like an eagle, majestic, with his wings wide open, Miles.
So if you want your own Kakawa Shaw approved t-shirt, you can get it on our Threadless store. honhpod.threadless.com. Get yourself a sloppy breakfast shirt. I can't decide which one I'm going to get, but I'm going to get at least one, if not all of them, very soon. So get yourself one of those shirts. You'll fund our trip to Las Vegas in 2099 when we finally have enough money to do this, and it will be amazing.
2000 never.
Our socials are also HonHPod, wherever you feel social. We'll answer you. And sometimes we post things. I'm trying.
Get soched up. Hit us up. Tell us what movies you would like to hear us talk about. Tell us what movies you think are Kakawa Shaw approved.
Yes.
Come indeed. Get soched.
Get your, let's get social, people. Alrighty. So we all know life is tough, but we're definitely going to get high on horror.